Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Official Charts Take the Hit. My name's Rob, I'm editor of officialcharts.com, and joining me this week from the team is Justin Myers. Hi Justin.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back.
No worries.
How are you
doing?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yes.
I look forward to all of them, but I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah.
But yes, this is a particularly interesting guest this week, yes. I think. Scott Mills.
King of the chart.
King of the chart.
That's an unofficial title.
Yes.
Let's not make that official because things could get unbearable.
Yeah.
No crowns available. Sorry, Scott.
So Scott has been host of the Official Chart Show on Radio 1 for... How long is it for now? About a year?
Yeah, I think so.
But the reason why we are unsure is because he's stepped in so many times over the years that it feels like he's always been sort of present.
He kind of feels like he's always been there. He's very much, very much, a chart-friendly radio host, I would say. He's stepped in a lot when previous hosts haven't been able to do it.
Yep. Yep.
But now it's properly an integral part of his show on a Friday, which is brilliant.
Yeah. So it's Friday drive time, so it starts at 4 p.m.
It does indeed.
And I feel like the charts are in safe hands with him for some reason. He's such a pop fan.
Yeah. He's a kind of an unashamed defender of pop music, which is good. You need, I think, to be a good chart host, because I'm relatively ancient, so I've been through a lot of chart show hosts in my time.
Have you?
Oh yeah, that's a story for another day. But I've been listening to the chart since I was about 10 years old, probably even younger perhaps, and so I've been through a lot of chart show hosts, and some great, some different.
Who was your first, or the one you remember kind of being good?
Well, I remember the huge, I mean, I would have listened to it beforehand, but I do remember the huge launch in the 80s when it went from being kind of, when it was relaunched with Bruno Brooks, I think, on a Sunday.
Right.
And it was between 5 and 7 p.m. And I think that was when they actually, they had a huge relaunch in the 80s when the chart data was kind of immediately available, rather than, because it used to be, the chart used to be announced on a Tuesday. This is in days of old. So the last sales day would be a Saturday. The chart would be announced on Tuesday because it took them so long to count up the sales. But then they went kind of digital and online and electronic in the late 80s. And so it was relaunched anyway with Bruno Brooks. And that's when I remember the chart starting to be a big event. So what I was saying in my very roundabout way is that the best chart show hosts are those that are really into pop, because there's a hell of a lot of pop music in the charts.
Yes, yeah. You need to love it.
You feel like he really, and especially as well actually with Scott, because he stood in so many times, he's waited a long time to be at the helm of the official chart on Radio 1. And now that he is, he seems to be having the time of his life.
Yeah.
He's loving it.
He's really doing a great job on the show, I think.
He is.
I feel like he's been a bit of a constant throughout my life listening to the radio. He's been there, he's been working in radio for about 20 years.
Yeah, he's been there a while.
He's been there a while. And as well as radio, he gets involved with the Eurovision Song Contest, doesn't he? So he does a podcast, but he also does the the semi-finals, sort of commentating.
Eurovision fans rival even chart geeks for their passion. They will call you out if you get something wrong, like you say. It's I think broadcasting to the semi-final audience, you are already talking to the specialists, the experts. They know the stats. They know where this finalist has come from. They know about the journey. A lot of them watch the country-specific finals. Like, we have our own one. Do we have Eurovision, you decide, and so do all the other countries. And a lot of the big Eurovision fans who'll be watching the semi-final have already watched those, so they'll know these songs very well.
Yes, exactly. So in the interview, which I did with Scott over at Radio 1, he just celebrated winning an award. So he was, you know, a touch...
Under the weather.
Under the weather. But he was still, he was great. And we talk about Eurovision as well.
Yeah.
We talk about the charts, how they've evolved, and loads of other things. Particularly lots of, he's interviewed everybody, so tried to get lots of goss on that.
Something you two have got in common, I suppose.
Well, I guess.
You've interviewed a lot of people.
I guess at this point, yeah. But yeah. I feel like he's spoken to everybody.
Yeah.
So we talk about that. But just before we get into it, I should explain the format.
Oh, yes.
Just for any newcomers to the
Take
the Hit Chart show. So I go out and talk to people in the music world, artists, in this case Scott Mills, and ask them questions based on the UK's biggest selling singles of all time.
Of which there is a list on officialcharts.com.
Yes.
Currently over 160
Yep, maybe,
songs.
Maybe even 170.
Well, possibly. Really? It could be over 170. I haven't checked, which is... Great, not done my research. But there's a list on officialcharts.com of the biggest selling songs in the United Kingdom. And to get on that list, you have to sell over 1 million copies.
Yes.
I believe. And so there are quite a lot of them.
It's a great list of songs. Go and check it out.
Some tunes on there. Also some songs you might think, that sold over 1 million? Really? But that's right.
Exactly. So the questions are based on those songs on that chart. And they're decided through a lovely bingo machine, which is starting to look a little weary. This point in the series.
It's, you know, it's
keeps breaking.
It's worked hard.
And the numbers that they pull out relate to where song sits on that all-time chart list.
So if they pull out number 10, the question will relate to the 10th biggest selling song in the UK.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know what that is. But because keep it as a surprise.
A surprise,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Right, should we give it a listen?
Okay, looking forward to it.
Scott Mills, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, really good. I won an award last night.
I was about to say congrats, because I just heard that you were out late last night.
Yeah, we were out. It was good. It was the BBC Radio Awards, and it's like nice to be recognised, you know.
What was it for?
It was for Best Entertainment Production. But then...
That sounds like a good one to win.
I think it's good. but then we were... Yeah, I'm really pleased. But I thought... Because I want to take the award home... But then my producer's insisting that we keep it here. And actually, it doesn't even say my name on it. So,
okay.
So I'm like, okay, fine, we'll keep it here.
It'd be nice to have a Hall of Fame at home where you can put these things.
Well, I've got a couple of others. It'd be nice to put it next to them, but apparently it needs to stay here, so it is.
But yeah, no, thanks for doing this, because... I don't know, it feels I was almost nervous doing this one because you're so used to interviewing people.
Yeah, I find it weird,
is it weird being interviewed?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Do you like to be in control?
Yeah, a little bit. But no, it's different for me. But yeah, I'm normally the one thinking up the questions and trying to interview people, so yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you've been on Radio for about 20 years now.
Radio 1, 20 years, yeah.
Oh. So this is second nature.
I know. Well, yeah. So
it's weird
long
if there's
time.
Not a microphone near you.
Yeah, it is a bit. We were talking on the show actually earlier today about what I would have done if I hadn't done the radio, and I couldn't think of one thing.
No,
it's terrifying, because if it all goes horribly wrong, what am I going to do? No idea.
That's good, because it keeps you going, right? You're
right.
Like, well, what else am I going to do?
Yeah, Radio 2.
Better not mess this up.
Yeah. So, so I'm glad that it all worked out, because literally don't know what I would have done.
You took over the reins of the chart show properly last June.
Yeah.
But you've like filled in here and there since before that, right?
I think. Geek facts. I only know this because I'm
a geek. We're all about geek facts.
Right, yeah. I think I'm the person that has, until now, covered the chart show the most without actually being the host of it. So I...
Like a supply teacher.
Yeah. My first chart, I think, was in 1999. And I remember being so terrified because it's like a big deal, you know. It's like something everyone grows up listening to. And I was filling in for Mark Goodyear, and the first number one that I remember announcing was Flying Without Wings by Westlife. We had Brian on the phone. He was celebrating. So yeah, and then I filled in for it ever since, really. And then when I got the chance to host it, I was like, yes. I genuinely enjoy it every week.
This is massively putting you on the spot, but your chart intros are really good. And I didn't know if you could do some kind of charty intro.
It's just sounding really exciting.
I love that.
Do you know the
why does that excite me?
The guys that made the imaging, the jingles and stuff that you hear, and the music that I talk over, are so good. And I think that it's given it a real energy. It's something you know that most people wouldn't even think about. But I think the chart needs to sound like an event. It always did when I was growing up, and that's what I've kind of tried to emulate now in a more modern way. Because you know, you need for me on a chart show, you need to have like a big opener of like, this is a thing. And I remember as a kid being so excited listening to the Radio 1 chart show. So we've tried to bring a bit of that excitement to it. And I mean, there are weeks when the chart hardly changes, yes, as you know. But it's, for me, it's still the chart that all the artists care about. They do.
Yeah, it's still seen as a bit of a marker of success.
Yeah, and we get a lot of guests on now, and they all, you know, most of them do actually care about where they are in the chart.
Yeah. I guess you've seen various, and you've hosted it during various incarnations of what the chart is.
Yeah.
So I guess it's changed a lot now. Like you say, it's more of a consumption chart.
Yeah.
It's kind of how people listen to music rather exactly than people actually buying.
I mean, when I remember back in the day when I used to do 4 till 7 p.m., I remember hosting the first ever download chart.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yep. That's when you could first download
was
songs.
Was that like 2005?
Maybe. Yeah, probably around then, I think. And that felt like a big deal because it's like, oh, download chart. And then obviously since then, everything has changed. But yeah, like when I first started doing the chart, it was probably just buying CDs.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah, I know. How archaic now.
I know, right? So if you think, I mean, obviously it's changed so much. And obviously now with views involved as well.
Yeah.
Which has changed everything. So yeah. And also, I found the chart to be recently actually a bit more exciting than it's been for a while.
A bit more movement. The thing is, I guess one of the reasons why people do always seem to have a bit of an opinion on the charts, whether it's a positive or a bad or negative one, is that everyone has a period, I think, where the chart was for them. They see it was their the golden years of the charts.
Yeah.
So it's different for different generations. Mm. So. Yeah.
Totally.
Because you've hosted it as well for a long time, do you have a memory of it being, do you have like a period that's your golden years of the chart, or because you host it, and you have on and off for a while?
I think my favourite was when I first started doing it, because it was kind of around the time of when it was okay to like pop music again.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like 99, so you had a lot of Britney, a lot of Christine, a lot of... So you had a lot of Britney, a lot of Christina Aguilera.
Good days. Good days.
Yeah. I remember playing Crush by Jennifer Page. Oh. Like actual good pop. And even, especially at Radio 1 at that time. I mean, there was a lot of guitars.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
And we were kind of coming out of that era and going into what I like, which is decent, big, happy pop music. So that's probably why they employed me. We shied away from pop for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And then, so it felt good to be part of that.
Are you ready to play Take the Hit?
Yes.
So, to explain, let me introduce you to this wonderfully delicate bingo machine.
Oh, this is good.
The questions are based on the biggest selling singles of all time. And the balls that pop out will relate to a song on that all-time chart list.
Okay.
And it'll throw off a topic of discussion.
Okay,
make
cool.
Make sense?
Yeah, yeah, got you.
Let's do it.
What do I do? Just this. Hang on. Come on. Oh.
Yes. Oh, two.
Okay. So this one. 19.
19. So, 19th best-selling single of all time is Will Young, Anything Is Possible / Evergreen.
Of all time?
Of all time. number one in 2002.
Wow, that was
8 million sales.
Yeah, that was the time when Pop Idol was huge.
What a ridiculously big moment. Didn't it get more votes than the general election or something?
Oh yeah. Do you remember? I remember because I was working here then. I remember going outside Radio 1 when it used to be in the old building down the road, and Gareth Gates' battle van was there, the battle bus, where they used to go around everywhere with this massive picture of his face on. I know. But if you think about it, that whole phenomenon at the time, because it wasn't like, I felt like we'd never really had singing competitions, or not in our generation.
Not big, flashy, exciting ones like that.
No. And I remember it being such an event to watch, and literally it felt at those times, and early days of X Factor, that everyone was watching it.
Yeah.
Like it was event television. So yeah. I can't go out. It's a bit like in Sweden, they have a contest every year to find the person that to represent Sweden at Eurovision.
Melodifestivalen.
Mm-hmm. And 70% of the country watch it. So if you go out if you go out for dinner in Stockholm on a Saturday night, which I have done, like, where is everyone? And they're just like, we're all watching Melodifestivalen. That's what it used to be like with Pop Idol.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It was literally, it was like you had to watch it. And I seem to remember being quite gutted when Gareth didn't win. Even though Will was probably the better artist.
Yeah, I remember being a bit kind of
confused. And I voted. There's the first time I ever voted and the last time I ever voted for anything.
Didn't Simon Cowell storm off or something? He was not happy.
No, I'll tell you what that was. I probably did. But do you remember... I think it was the year after...
Michelle McManus
and Pete Waterman stormed
he
off.
He did, yeah.
Because he was not happy. So he actually... Gosh. Yeah.
Public had spoken.
I know.
So my question is, based on this.
Yes.
I'm going with anything is possible. What else is... Is there something you really want to achieve still in your career? Is there something you're still aiming towards?
Not the ever will, but if Graham Norton ever leaves Eurovision, because I already do the semi-finals.
True.
On TV with Rylan, and again this year. Not that I'm wishing you... any harm, Graham, but if he were to leave, then I would like to do the final.
Surely you're next in line for that.
Well, you never know.
You never know these, I guess.
But I think that would be really fun.
That'd be good. There's a pressure with that job, though.
There is, but obviously I've already got the... I already do it on the Tuesday. I mean, a lot of people don't even realise there are semi-finals, but there are.
Yeah.
So on the Tuesday and the Thursday... I actually think that semi-finals are better because you get to see the really bad ones.
Yeah, exactly.
The ones that don't get through to the final. Bosnia, etc. Always Montenegro.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of them are deliciously bad. And
well, we're sad they don't get through.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So people really see them.
So I get to see all of them. I feel like I'm kind of... I would be ready for it when that time, if it ever came, yeah.
So, speaking of... saying you've achieved a lot, one of the things I didn't realise had happened, which I actually forgot about, was that you had a musical based on your life.
God.
I forgot that this happened.
We were talking about this the other day. I'd forgotten as well. Yeah,
that's it was quite a big deal.
It was a tongue-in-cheek.
I know it was a short run.
Yeah, it was a short run, 3 nights. It was at the Edinburgh Festival quite a few years ago now. But we just wanted to do it. Obviously, it wasn't serious. It was a joke. But... It sold out.
Exactly.
And no one was expecting that. But it was so fun. We used to do our show from Edinburgh Festival a lot, and it was literally some of the funnest shows I've done. It was just so good up there. That happened.
Shall we go again?
Okay. Come on. Okay. Oh. 82. Or was it 28? It's 82.
82 is Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud.
Okay.
Number one in 2014.
Yeah.
Which I think, at the time, held a record for longest climb to number one.
Really?
So it just kind of kept going. So yeah. Charted from the week the album came out. And it
was it that long ago?
2014, yeah.
Wow, okay.
1.25 million sales.
Mad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
You've interviewed a lot of people. So my question is, what is the most awkward... thing you said or done in an interview, or has there been a real kind of howler of an interview?
I remember interviewing Steve Coogan once about his new TV show, and he just was not in the mood. And
really?
It was a pre-record, so we pre-recorded it. And I think that he thought, which I really wasn't, that I was kind of taking the mick out of him, and I honestly wasn't, but I something got lost in translation there. And we finished the interview, it was really frosty, and then he went, "I don't think I want that to go out." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he was like, "Please don't play that on the radio." And then just left. And it was just
weird
terrible.
That things were lost in translation, because I kind of sometimes get it with US artists. Yeah. They don't get a bit of sarcasm or something. But isn't he quite funny?
Yeah, I also have offended Sigrid a couple of times without realising.
She's always on Radio 1.
Yeah, she's always on. But because she looks so young, we wanted to do a feature on the show where we were going to say that she's 8, basically. So I asked her to say, "Hello, I'm Sigrid and I'm 8 years old." I put this to her and she was like, "No, I'm not doing that, it's not funny." I was like, "Okay, cool." But we get on just fine now. It was just a moment.
She's Norwegian, right?
Norwegian.
So sometimes they have a different kind of sense of humour.
Yeah, I like I said, that did get lost in translation because I didn't explain it very well. And she was like, "Why is he asking me to say I'm 8? Because I'm not." It was just a weird, me thinking I was funny British joke, which didn't really work. Didn't cross over to Norwegian at all. Yeah. Okay, again.
Let's spin again, yeah.
Come on. 22
is Mark Ronson feat Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk. Number one again in 2014.
Wow.
1.67 million sales. I have a feeling this might have been a recent story. Please tell me about the last all-nighter you pulled. Was this last night?
No, it wasn't last night. Probably the Brits, actually.
The Brits?
It was late, yeah.
It's always a good night.
Always good. I went to the Universal party. Oh, I mean, half a night I was trying to get one of my friends in. It was horrendous, and he'd lost his ticket, so I was just like outside waiting, going, "Please let us in." But
I hate all that.
Yeah, it's so annoying. But that was the Brits was good this year.
Wasn't Chic playing at? No, Nile Rodgers playing.
Yeah, Nile Rodgers, amazing. And then there was a bit where, because Grimmy was like, "Come and watch me DJ," and Nick Grimshaw. So I was like, "Okay, cool." So I went in to the party with him. Then I got chatting to people. He went up to DJ. So then I'm chatting away. And the next thing I know, I go up to see him. And he's DJing with Mel C from the Spice Girls. And she's playing the Spice Girls. So she's playing Wannabe, her own song, right, at the party. And I'm like, that's just weird. But weird things like that do happen at the Brits after shows, really. That Uptown Funk song is a very good record. But it does remind me of playing corporate gigs.
Oh, like, yeah, that's definitely a corporate gig.
Like
song.
Yeah, they love it. Do you know what I mean? Like
wedding party song.
The River Island Christmas party. Yeah. It goes down a treat. There's men with like swinging their ties around their heads. So it just reminds me of like middle-aged men dancing. Really.
Yeah, it's the one song they know.
Which is annoying because it's actually a cool song.
It's a really good song. Yeah, you can't, but it's undeniably good.
It's the same, though, as I associate I Got a Feeling, Black Eyed Peas, also in that bracket. Yeah. You can't go wrong if you play it. Everyone knows it. Grands know it. Like, young people know it. Middle-aged people know it.
Yeah.
Because it's an easy song to know.
It's one of those songs that just cut through to everybody.
But if you ever come and see me at your work's Christmas party, if I'm playing there, they'll both be played. Just to let you know.
But at parties like the Brits, because obviously people are coming in at Radio 1 all the time, do people just constantly come up and say hello and have chats? So do you get a moment's peace to hang out with a friend?
Generally, if it's artists, they're being like pulled here, there, and everywhere. So all you can go is hi, and that's it, and they're gone. That happened with Lewis Capaldi actually this year. I was just like, "Oh, can you not stay and talk?" And he was like, "No, I've got to go and do this." So you don't actually really see, with artists, you don't really see them. They're kind of being dragged around doing various interviews. But it's fun just to see people that you might not see all the time from the industry, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good night.
Oh, nice. And have you been to any of... So I've heard this on the grapevine through people at Newsbeat and stuff. You know, we work a lot with you guys at Radio 1, obviously. Mm. Nick Grimshaw has some infamous house parties, I hear.
Mm.
Have you been to any of those?
I have. Yeah, I have once.
Like an absolute who's who of seriously famous people.
I think at this one we had Tom Daley, Florence. I can't remember who else, but it was a beautiful thing. Just watching Florence ask Tom Daley about diving, It was just such an odd combo. And I think she then offered, she was like, can you show me how to dive in the bath? And he was like, no. I seem to remember
don't
that
do happening. That.
No, don't do that, everyone. But yeah, that was a weird party. I've not been to one for a while, though, to be fair. I don't even know if he has them anymore.
They sound lethal. They sound...
I don't know if he has them or whether I'm just not invited.
Oh. Shall we spin again?
Yes.
Oh,
here we go. 56.
56. We were just talking about this song. So the 56th biggest selling single of all time in the UK is Spice Girls' Wannabe.
Oh, that's weird.
Number one in 96 for 7 weeks. So this is when and it sold 1.39 million copies. Not bad.
Wow.
This was the time I properly got into music and pop music. Mm. You know, when you establish what you...
Yeah.
Like, and you kind of buy into artists and stuff. I was completely obsessed. They felt like they were a group of aliens that just crash landed. And
I mean, it was instant. It was just like, bam, where do they come from? Yeah. And it was just huge. Like, the first pop band that I remember really for me being that big, it was everywhere. Like, there were Spice Girls. Pencil cases. It was a bit like One Direction.
Yeah.
Same, where it was literally there's calendars, pillowcases, like One Direction mirrors, One Direction chairs. It was like literally everything. Like, the Spice Girls were the first people to really, really rinse the merch.
I collected the Spice Girls photographs.
Amazing.
Did you get those?
Yeah, that. Controversial though, unpopular opinion. Wannabe, now, when you hear it, isn't a very good song.
It's not aged as well as some of the others.
No.
For me, it's Say You'll Be There.
Say You'll Be There is a good song.
Yeah.
Should Become One every Christmas. Still fine. Still sounds good on the radio.
Yeah.
Wannabe for me, I actually heard, I heard it when Mel C like dropped it
at the
after party. But I was like, this isn't aged well at all.
Yeah. I have to say, on the Spice Girls merch, with One Direction.
Yeah.
So they literally did everything as well, didn't they? I got sent One Direction duct tape. And
I
by a PR
saw
and
that.
I tweeted it, you know, this was years ago, and the internet went crazy. They're like, "Where do you get this? Where?" And I was like, "I don't know." I just literally opened a posting and just got duct tape on direction.
I actually saw some. I hosted a thing with them when they were at their absolute peak, and they flew me to LA literally to host this thing on the internet with them called 1D Day, and it was 8 hours of me and them on the internet. And
what?
Eight hours. And I was so jet lagged, so I was in a daze. But yeah, that's when I realised how massive they were, because we were linking up with people in like fans in the Philippines. Like, it was insane. And
that
one of the
stressful.
Most it was stressful, and also keeping them together, their work money saying this is a handful when they're all together.
And they were much younger then. Yeah,
they were much younger, and they, I don't know, like, it was 8 hours. That's a long attention span if you're that young. There was a lot going on. It was like a TV show. There was just like everything was happening. Like, Piers Morgan turned up, and it was so many segments and so many fans from around the world. But that's when I really realised how huge they were.
Yeah.
It was in the YouTube building in Los Angeles, and it was completely locked down. So no fans would have known where it was. By the end of the first hour, we're in the parking lot, and obviously in overlooks mountains,
right.
And you could see fans in the mountains. Like, how have they found out?
My God.
You could see people with like actual binoculars, like trying to see them.
Jesus.
You know, after an hour.
So on Wannabe. Back to, yeah.
Also, good fact. Do you know One Direction at the heat? Do you know One Direction at the height of their fame? The fans would always find out where they were. What hotel they were in, so they were not getting any sleep. So they'd be on tour, and they'd be like, literally, this girl screaming all night outside, I can't sleep. So they used to take them to boats.
Did they?
To get them near, because there's no fans, I can't get to you. So they actually used to sleep on boats.
What, like
they used
a
to
canal
take,
or
they used to take them
lake?
Out to the, no, no, they used to take them out to the sea. And then they would
take
sleep
them out
there
to
because,
sea.
Because no fans. So you get a good night's sleep.
Little P&O cruise ship, is it?
I don't know. I don't know the details of the boat, but there was definitely a boat. Go on, back to Wannabe.
So, Wannabe. We already kind of touched on this earlier, but it was, when did you know you wanted to be? a radio DJ? Because you started young. Like you.
Put it this way, I was pretending to be on Radio 1 in my bedroom when I was 8.
There was nothing else you wanted?
It kind of must be weird for my mum now. she would be cooking, so I've got a younger brother, so he'd be, we had like a little playroom, so like the playroom is here and the kitchen's like next door. So I had a, if my brother wasn't out playing, I had a captive audience, because he'd be playing with his Lego and my mum would be cooking tea. So that's like two listeners, that's massive.
Yep.
For me.
Yeah.
So, but I'm fully pretending to be on Radio 1 as well. Like, I'm saying Radio 1, I've literally taken all the jingles off Radio 1, I'm playing them in, like, proper.
Amazing.
I was so annoyed because my brother used to sometimes go out and I'd be like, well, that's half my audience. I used to get really annoyed.
The radio numbers are down. Like, what's going on?
Please stay in. I've got no listeners. But yeah, so that long ago. Yeah.
So there wasn't really anything else, was there, for you?
No, absolutely not. And I remember when it came to doing work experience at school, I was like, I really want to do radio. And they were like, yeah, we can't really sort that. We can't really sort that. Radio stations don't really take anyone. Like, okay, so I ended up doing work experience at a newspaper for a week. That's okay, still media, but not what I wanted to do. And then I wrote to the radio station myself, and they were like, "Yeah, come on in." And so I just used to do voluntary work there at weekends.
Oh, nice.
I used to work on the. So I was still at school, and it was the station. It was the station I ended up working at. My first station in Hampshire. It used to be called Power FM.
That's it, Power FM.
And on the south coast, which is now Capital. So yeah, I started helping out there when I was 15 on the sports show, and I knew nothing about sport, but it wasn't really about that. It was about making people see. And then obviously got my face around the building a bit, and then I was lucky enough to be able to. They put me on air when I was 16, so I'd just finished my GCSEs, and they gave me shows here and there, filling in. It's, I mean, if you listen back now, which I do have some recordings, it's awful. But
no one really taught you. You just taught.
No, but I just kind of listened to the radio a lot. I was always listening to the radio, so I felt like I kind of knew what I was doing. But I used to have an awful voice. I just put this voice on to try and sound older.
So with a radio voice though, because you do have a good voice for radio.
Thanks.
So you've just been practicing that from.
Yeah, but I think I had this thing for a while where I was like, well, I'd never talked on the radio before the first time I did it. So I think what you do is you emulate other people. And at that time, in the early 90s, there were a lot of DJs that spoke like that.
Yes, there were.
And so I started doing it too, because I thought that would be great. And you can hear my, it was really like this. And the weather, and it was like, why? And I listened back now, and I just talk normally. But I didn't know any different.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to have a crack at? Have you ever thought, I wouldn't mind giving that a go if I was, had some free time?
I'd like to do a bit more TV, but only if it's something that interests me. Because I truly believe there are very few people that are very good on the telly and the radio. I'm definitely better on the radio. TV, I used to do more than I do now, because actually it terrifies me. Live TV is terrifying, yeah. Radio, just not at all. I mean, I get adrenaline, but I don't get... I mean, it's because they can see you. They can see you.
Yeah, is it talking down to a camera?
No, not even that. Cause here's the thing, like, now that I've done telly and realised that I'm kind of okay at it, I never thought I would do television. I was too shy.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of radio presenters are actually really shy. Wow, so, yeah, a lot.
I thought they just wanted to show off.
No, not at all. A lot of them you meet, and the reason... I think it's because you can talk to loads of people without having to meet them. So that's what I always think anyway. Yeah. So like Joe Wiley, like really shy.
Oh,
like,
she's yeah. Sweet.
Really sweet. But a lot of radio presenters aren't as outgoing as you think. And I was definitely one of those. So the idea of me ever doing television wasn't on my radar. I didn't even think about it. And then the first TV I did, obviously because I started working at Radio 1, was Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And on my first one, I had to interview Eminem. No pressure.
Oh, God.
It was the worst. It was like, I was actually physically sick before.
No.
Yeah. And it wasn't even live. It was recorded on a... I think it used to be recorded on a Thursday and go out on Friday. But it's just like, oh, my God, I'm on BBC One. I'd never done any TV. And... It wasn't autokey, you had to learn it, so that's quite hard as well.
That is scary.
And then I really still remember it to this day now. Like, there's a crowd of people around me, and they just go 3, 2, 1, and this huge camera comes towards me. I'm like, oh god, I better talk. And I just went, it's still number one, it's Top of the Pops, and they all cheered. I was like, well, that's one done. But no, I was actually sick before. It's terrifying.
Oh.
And after I'd done it, the adrenaline was pumping so much, I went for like a 10-mile run.
Really?
And I couldn't get it out of my system.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Oh, you need to do it. We need to come up with a show at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
Get a show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there should be more music shows on TV anyway.
Definitely.
It's a lack.
Sounds like Friday Night I enjoy.
That's good, actually. That is a good show.
Yeah.
But it's weird that Top of the Pops is only on at Christmas now.
I know.
Because it looks a bit like, oh, we've just put this set together.
A bit of nostalgia.
Yeah. Because right. It's not on all the time.
Shall we go again?
What? Hang on. Is it this way?
Oh, no, it's the other way.
Is it the other way? I'll master this at some point. 50.
Number 50 is Shaggy. It wasn't me.
Okay.
Shaggy, now part of iconic duo Sting and Shaggy.
What?
Have you heard this?
No.
Sting and Shaggy have an album.
That's
together.
Not okay.
It was Grammy nominated.
I should know that.
In some
official charts host Scott Mills.
It's not
bothered our charts, is it?
Bothered the charts, no. Really. But it's an interesting concept.
It really is. I need to give that a listen.
Give it a listen.
Okay.
It Wasn't Me was number one in 2001. That was a really, I think it was one of the fastest sellers of all time, like week one sales.
Really?
Massive.
I mean, a huge record.
Yeah. I think it was like nearly 500,000 sales in 1 week something. It was
I mean, crazy. It's just an instant catchy song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon he must have made some dollar from that.
Must have.
Yeah.
Must have.
I think he would.
My question is, have you ever read a story about yourself that isn't true at all?
Yes.
The papers are quite kind to you, aren't they?
Yeah, generally, yeah. There was a good one once where it was in the Australian version of Heat magazine. And I had just done a TV show. I don't know whether you remember it. It was when Paris Hilton was looking for a new best friend.
Yes.
Paris Hilton BFF.
It was on ITV2 here, wasn't it?
Certainly was. And they did a British version. And I ended up on it with her. She was 5 hours late for filming. And we did it in a house up in Hampstead in London. And it was just like some kind of... It was a big house. It's me and Paris Hilton sat on the sofa. And all these people come in and they kind of... It's like a talent show. They have to do a sing or a dance or whatever. Well, I mean, it took ages. And... So there's lots of publicity shots of us on the sofa together. About 3 weeks later, one of my listeners sends an email going, look at what's in Heat magazine in Australia. And I was romantically linked with Paris Hilton.
Amazing.
Now, that's not going to happen for a number of reasons. But I was up there with, like, I think they put like Prince Harry and then some other Australian celeb, and then Ready One UK DJ Scott Mills.
I did
really
the research.
Really bad research.
Yeah.
But that was quite a fun one.
Is there like a common misconception people have about you?
Yeah, I think maybe that I'm like I am on the radio all the time. Not you can't be that happy.
Imagine if you were.
Imagine.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, no, I don't think it
really
would.
Possible.
I think it'd be really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's gonna have some downtime. But yeah, I think that people expect you to be exactly the same all the time, and that's not possible. Because actually, what, like, on radio, it is kind of a perform. Like, I am me.
It's performing.
Kind of performing, and it's like you don't want to do a bad show, and you don't want to do a show where even if you are fed up, you sound it. That's not on. That's not why you're doing this job. You've just got to literally get on with it. And obviously, there will be days. Technically, if you're doing it 5-6 days a week, there will be days where you're not in the mood or you're annoyed about something. But you just can't do that. I've mastered that over the years. I mean, it's very rare that you'd be able... Maybe if you know me personally, you might be able to tell. But
a little bit,
there might just be a little bit more sass than normal. like yesterday, for some reason, I don't know why there was, but there was. And everyone's like, what's wrong with you? In the studio, I was like, what's wrong with you today? I'm like, just off day, innit? Happens. But no, I don't think you can tell on the air, really.
Also in the theme of the question, in the song, when was the last time you did something bad and you got away with it?
It wasn't recently, but we did try and nick one of the Brit Awards once. Me and Greg James.
Oh my God.
And we actually managed. There's still a video on YouTube of this. We got it into a taxi, black cab, and then the taxi driver's, but it didn't fit, so it was like hanging out the windows, and the taxi driver was like, "It's not fitting, mate. We're not taking these." He wouldn't take it.
One of the giant ones.
Yeah, massive one.
Ah, we've got them in our office.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
We just wanted one. You know, they're really big.
Really big, yeah.
Like a taller than an actual person.
Yeah.
And then it broke in half.
Oh.
And they were not happy. So you've got this. Yeah, I actually saw the video again the other day, and look on my face is like, oh my God, we've broken it, because they're not cheap. And but then I also on the video I instantly blame Greg. Like, look what you've done. And it's like, oh.
So we work in the same building as the Brits, so I'm definitely telling the head of the Brits.
Well, no, I think they know. The video was, yeah. Just remind them.
Should we go again?
Yeah. Forty-six
is Fugees, "Killing Me Softly," a song.
A song.
Number one in 1996, 1.46 million sales.
I remember, I was actually on Heart Radio when that song came out, and Heart, being Heart as it was at the time, didn't really play any rap, so the version that we played was kind of half the song, so it just literally was the singing bit. It was
just
like
the
chorus, and it just sounded, I remember it sounded so weird.
I've noticed a few stations doing that.
Some stations still do it. Yeah. Like you won't hear like they'll just cut out Cardi B sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I've noticed, I'm naming no names for this station, but they cut out the Sean Paul bit in Clean Bandits Rockabye, which is essential.
It's essential.
To the song.
Yeah. I also remember, and this is ridiculous, a station where they cut out Flo Rida from Troublemaker by Olly Murs.
What?
I mean, it's not a very good verse, to be fair, but but don't cut him out, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he took the effort to make the song, even though they never met.
Oh, yeah.
Happens all the time. Always happens now. Clean Bandit never met Demi Lovato.
No, that's true. Yeah,
because you can just record it anywhere, can't you? Yeah. That's why everyone's got every song now has like five people on it, featuring.
I think we've already really touched on this, so we might skip over it probably. But what is the most frustrating, annoying thing about your job?
Oh,
you have had some killer radio shifts in the past, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I did. When I first started, when I was 16, I mean, I'm not complaining because it was the job of my dreams, but I was on 1 till 6 in the morning. Nice 5-hour show there. And I was kind of the only, after a certain time of night, like about 2, the presenter that was on before me would go home, and I was literally there on my own, and actually quite scary when you're 16.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of an industrial estate in Fareham, and that was quite terrifying. And but also quite exciting, because like I was on like 5 radio stations, because they all took the same service overnight. So yeah, it felt good. It felt like a little like an overnight club where people were listening.
Yeah,
radio at that time of day is kind of hard to do, but actually it feels much even more intimate, because it's mostly people listening on their own in petrol stations when they're working, or on shift work, or driving an ambulance, or you know, so they really listen to the show. It's the same with Adele Roberts, who does the early show here. If you ever hear that, it's a real like club, you know. Of people. So that was hard. The other bit which wasn't very glamorous was also at that time. So I used to do Monday to Friday, 1 till 6 a.m. And on Sunday, I did a show on their oldies station, bearing in mind at the time I was 16. And I don't even know these songs. And that was from 6 a.m. till 10 on a Sunday. So I didn't really have a life.
Hours.
And because I couldn't drive at that time, I used to, like, my mum or dad used to drop me off at the radio station, and I would sleep on the floor of the studio every week. And then someone would come and wake me up 5:30, like, time for your show. So, yeah, glam times.
No one can say you didn't put the work in.
No.
And also, in the vein of the song, what Is this one thing that really annoys you generally in life? So, like a bugbearer, something that really annoys you?
Radio stations or presenters that I hear and I don't feel that they're putting the work in.
Okay.
I truly believe you're only as good as your last show. And sometimes, not at Radio 1, but I do hear some presenters on stations and I'm like, you're not even trying, you're literally phoning this in. That annoys me. Because I try and make...
And it's so competitive.
Yeah, it is. And also, you know, the industry is getting a lot smaller now and there's a lot less presenter jobs about to happen. So make it good. Yeah. It's actually a self-motivation thing, but I always want to make a good show, you know. And when I hear people who have got good jobs not doing it that well or I know they could do it better, that annoys me.
Oh, last one. Okay. Let's do it.
58.
58 is Celine Dion, Think Twice.
Oh, yes.
One of the ultimate ballads, I think, of all time.
Great. Gets overshadowed by My Heart Will Go On, but actually probably a better record.
Yeah, I think so. It was number one for 7 weeks in 1994.
Wow.
1.38 million sales. Has there been a moment in your career where you've turned down a really big offer for something and you either wish you hadn't or you're glad you did in hindsight? Have you had something come your way and gone
Well,
it's a bit like a reality show.
I went for a meeting, maybe two or three meetings with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and I think I said no. If anyone's listening from there and they're like, "Oh, we never offered you that job," then I made it up. But I remember thinking, "No, I couldn't do that. I'd be too scared." And then Strictly came along, arguably scarier, because dancing on television. But for some reason, I felt brave that day and said yes. So I kind of regret not saying yes to it now, because I think that if you are terrible at dancing, doing that in front of 13 million people is horrendous. And I would rather eat snake, whatever, or bull, whatever, or ant, because it's easier. Yeah, it's easier than trying to do a rumba. Believe me, if you are completely too left feet, which I am, I don't know, but I do not regret saying yes to Strictly in any way. It was the most fun thing I've ever done.
Was it? It looks so fun,
and the whole thing is so mad. And then I got to do the tour as well.
Did you?
So yeah, I was the token rubbish one, but fine. The crowd was on. It's the nearest you're ever going to get to feeling like a pop star. You go around on a tour bus. There's catering everywhere. I mean, it was just the most fun.
Aww.
Yeah. So yeah. But then, now that I've done that, I don't think the jungle would seem as scary as I thought.
I was going
to
say, now you must feel slightly fearless about certain things.
Since I've done that, it's made everything easier. Like, I don't really get scared about much. Like, even going on stage and hosting stuff, I used to be a bit nervous about, but not since that, because it's terrifying.
What a great silver lining to have that.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's made me feel much more confident about a lot of things.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. That was fun.
Thanks for playing Take the Hit.
No problem.
So, Justin, what did you make of Scott Mills?
Oh, I felt for Scott there.
Really?
Well, you know, when you're feeling a bit rough. Yeah. I thought he handled himself very well indeed.
Literally, what
he
a
came
professional.
Through it. Trooper.
Yeah, trooper.
That's why he's been in the business this long.
Although he seemed very up for it.
But you know, you know, going to work when you're feeling a bit rough is bad enough, but then having to answer questions which you have not seen in advance.
Yes, exactly.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So what did you think? What did you like about what he said?
Well, I love that all these years later we're still talking about Pop Idol. I know. The definitive, for me, singing talent contest Saturday night shiny floor show.
It definitely holds a really special place in my heart. If I ever think back to it. Yeah, it's lovely.
I remember where I was when they announced the winner, and I wasn't actually watching it because I was on a night out. I was queuing up for a
You were on a night out when they announced the first winner of Pop Idol.
I know, timing was terrible. I was actually, it was someone's birthday, I think, and I was out, I was in a queue for a bar, and I was text. I had about a zillion texts came through saying, Will won. I cheered, I'm afraid. So I was very surprised to hear that Scott Mills was a Gareth Gates voter. Now, I thought that revealing your Pop Idol vote was like revealing your Brexit vote, in that you kind of...
Controversial. You
know, very controversial. But so he was a Gareth voter.
Well, I have to be honest.
I was shocked.
I didn't vote.
Right.
God, that sounds controversial.
Did you hear the sharp intake of breath?
Didn't vote. I think my parents were letting me use the phone to do it.
Oh, yeah, it was like a pay thing, wasn't it?
My parents were strict about use of the phone, things like
my
that.
My mum was, actually.
But I would have voted for Gareth, I think.
What?
I know.
I thought
hindsight, what a... Like, no. But back I was... Maybe he had just appealed to my age group.
I think what put me off Gareth was that he was very clearly marked out by the panel as the front runner. And,
yes.
And, you know, Will wasn't. I'm fascinated by the fact that Scott is after that Eurovision job.
Yes, yeah. I think he would be good.
I think he'd be great.
I think the semi-finals is a real good training ground for such a gig.
Yeah.
I do love Graham doing it, and Graham does feel like a natural successor to Terry.
Absolutely. I think Graham's really, you know, he's found his balance now. I think he's, you know, he's not just retreading what Sir Terry used to do.
Yes, Sir Terry.
But he... he's really made it his own. But I think Scott could do exactly the same.
Yeah.
Him or Rylan, really.
Yeah. I wanted to ask him, obviously, lots about people he's interviewed. And my God, did he deliver on the gossip. I particularly loved the sort of retelling of the Marathon One Direction interview, which I completely forgot about until...
No, I remember that.
I completely forgot until he talked about it. I was like, all coming screaming back to me.
It's
so bad.
It's funny how things have moved on so far. So I think is that about 5 years ago?
It would have been.
It was around the third or fourth album. The third album, I think.
Longer
it was.
Than that, even.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that happening, and it's interesting how far technology has moved on, because if I remember, it was kind of seen as this really weird thing to do, and, you know, people are going to tune in. But now it's completely natural to go onto YouTube or anywhere, really, and watch someone do pretty much nothing for 8 hours.
A pioneer of awkward live interviews online.
Yes,
just never end.
Yes. I want to talk about the very controversial front page headline that should be a front page headline, that Scott Mills thinks Wannabe hasn't aged very well. Wannabe by the Spice Girls as well, just to clarify, like there is any other Wannabe.
Exactly.
So
it tended to be a lot more controversial than I thought this.
Yeah,
interview.
Say You'll Be There is definitely the one.
That agreed completely. But
and
Wannabe is the lead single. It's such a statement.
I have to say, for the time, because I remember Wannabe coming out and being this huge thing, it's never sounded contemporary. There was nothing else on the radio like Wannabe in 1996.
Yeah.
It sounded weird, and it sounded both like old school and yet from the future. It's never really sat that well. You know, we look back now with hindsight and think, oh yeah, that was the pinnacle of the 90s. But it wasn't. There weren't really any songs like it at the time.
And there still haven't been.
And there still haven't been, really. A few.
You can't box it into a category of music and go, oh, it's kind of that sound of the
90s. It almost defies genre.
Yeah.
Like Say You'll Be There is very heavily R&B influenced from the kind of music that was done at the time, and it's a brilliant song. But Wannabe is Wannabe, and I think to say it's aged badly, well, no, he said it doesn't sound that great anymore. Sorry. But
you're not mad about it.
I take that really personally, because it transcends time.
On that note, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to Scott for playing Take the Hit with us.
Yes, thank you very much, Scott. So you can see the list of all the biggest selling singles in the UK on officialcharts.com. Please do send us in any ideas for questions you might have based on that list. Keep it clean. These are actually going to be asked to real live people.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm.
HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.